Hello, and welcome to the first Wall Street Realty Partners Opportunity Show. A 30-minute program specifically showcasing their very own real estate investment opportunities available right now for you to invest in and partner with them. This show is all about opportunities. First Wall Street Realty Partners is a real estate investment holding company and the owner-manager of all their own properties nationwide in partnership with people just like you. With properties owned and managed in over 16 cities nationwide, their portfolio speaks for itself. If you're a qualified investor with decent credit and a sufficient amount of capital to invest, stay tuned to hear how you can walk right into money-making properties, fully rented with equity, all without any management headaches whatsoever. Best of all, many of their properties have netted 20 to 30, even 50 and 100% returns with full transparency for your review and backed by the full faith and credit of hard assets. Real estate, the First Wall Street Realty Partners card says it all. You invest, we do the rest. Now, let's get started.
Good morning, everybody out there, and welcome to my second show. This is Sunday, the 17th February, and I'm in West Palm Beach enjoying the weather. It's a beautiful sunny day. Last week, I got into my history and why I need partners and a little bit about my real estate and properties I'm involved in and things like that. Today was going to be a little different. I don't really teach people much. I'm more of a doer. My business model is I buy property below market value. Usually you get stuff at 40 or 50 cents on the dollar, and that's just because I spend a lot of time looking around and I'm not focused in one area. I buy all over the country. I buy a lot of distressed property from banks and people that were not able to manage their property, and just for some reason they cut it loose, because I always tell people real estate that is not producing income instantly becomes a liability. It's different than other investments. You have taxes on real estate. You got insurance. You have maintenance, repairs, and things like that. Not so in the stock market and in other type of investments where none of that plays court. But anyway, I was going to get right into it. We're going to talk about real estate as a business, because it is. And there's a couple businesses in real estate. There's the business of selling people how to get into property. And that's a billion-dollar business. And there's lots of guys that run around the country. You see them on TV. And I got to admit, I was one of those guys too, but it was 20 years ago. And those people aren't really in the real estate business. They're in show business. And they make a lot of money, but many of them aren't wealthy at all. They don't own any property. And if they do, it's very little bit. Some people buy and sell a few houses to stay legitimate, but many of them don't own and hold any income-producing property. They're not real estate guys. If you want to know what a real estate guy is, download a free app called The Real Deal. The Real Deal. And that's a little kind of electronic app, newspaper type of thing. And it covers all your big players all over the country, mainly in Chicago, New York, Florida, and other areas on the East Coast, big cities. It shows you the big guys, the guys building the skyscrapers, who are developing land and putting in 500 to 1,000 houses at a clip. It gives you who they are, what they bought, and it's just really cool. In fact, after you read that thing, you become depressed, because after the house you just bought for 50 grand that's worth 100, and you're all excited that you made $50,000 on paper and you're going to rent this house out, now you're reading about a guy who just got a $250 million bank loan to build a mall. And that's one of 20 projects he's got going on. So it's a great little app if you want to see how the real big guys are doing the business and how maybe you could become one of them. So anyway, real estate is a business. Is exactly that. It is a business. And anyone that thinks they can buy a piece of property as a part-time thing and kind of manage it on their own or grow a little portfolio on their own, it's going to be tough. It will interfere with your life and your job. There's just no way you can do it. I do a lot of long-distance management. which means I don't have to physically go to the property to supervise or do any work myself. And with that said, I'm on the phone a lot, and there's a lot of high anxiety about who I'm talking to. Are they legit? Are they licensed? Are they going to try to rip me off? Are they some uneducated, retarded hillbilly that is going to come back and break into my house and steal something if the property's vacant? There's so many things I got to deal with, although many of those things I've learned how to deal with. But the point I'm making is the newbie, the guy that gets in and buys a house or two, is not going to be able to deal with that. He won't, believe me. So it's a business like any other business. And people who are very successful in business still have to run that business. And every day they're in the business, they got problems. I mean, look at the guy that has 100 trucks out on the road and he's got a carpet cleaning business like Stanley Steamer. I mean, think about his problems. He's got people calling, complaining the job wasn't done, come back, do it again. They have complaints. Oh, somebody, your carpet guy stole my clock that was on the wall. Your carpet guy banged into my wall. Your carpet guy dented my car. You know, every business has problems, even a dentist and a doctor and a lawyer. So it's a business. It's not what you see on TV where it's all just milk and honey. There's a lot of problems in real estate, and it's really a business of solving problems. That's really what real estate management is. It's a business of solving problems. And that's where I come in, and that's where I make people wealthy. And I've been doing it for years. Without the knowledge and the experience of real estate management, you're just going to fail. You're going to pay twice and three times for things. You're going to get ripped off. You're going to just have a horrible experience. So why do that? I'm telling you, I've been doing this 40 years, and it's never changed. The only thing is technology's made things easier. I talked about the iPhone last week, how I manage all my houses on an iPhone. My tenants go and paid rent directly at the bank. I get a notice on my iPhone. Bing, this one paid rent. That one paid rent. If a repairman's doing a job, he can send me pictures. Now, just getting pictures doesn't mean it's done right. There still has to be a follow-up, and I learned that the hard way because when I started to first use my iPhone, I relied solely on it. Not so, unless you have a full-time guy and you know him real well and you can trust him. In Jacksonville, I have a whole bunch of houses up there. That's my home base. And I have a handyman up there who's on call. He doesn't work for me by the hour, but I know him very well. And he knows the routine. He does the work. He sends me the pictures. He goes to Home Depot. I pay for everything on the credit card. And even with all that, I still double and triple check his bills. Because why? Real estate is a business. And you got to run it like a business. The other thing is it's a wealth builder. It's the greatest wealth builder of our time and the generation before us and the generation before that. Why? Because history shows, even with all the crashes, real estate appreciates over time, year after year after year. Now, that's your one wealth builder. The other wealth builder is the rents. The rents seem to go up in value year after year after year. So if you have a tenant A moves into an apartment, and they're paying you $1,000 a month, and it's $1,999. 10 years later, that same tenant may still be in that apartment, and his rent might have increased just, I don't know, let's say $45 a month. So now 10 years later, you're getting $1,500 or more for that apartment that you were getting $1,000. Now, some people say, oh, you're not making money. It took 10 years. No, you're making a fortune because the mortgage on your property is paid down from 10 years of equity reduction or debt reduction. And now you're getting $1,400 or $1,500 a month for the same unit that doesn't cost you any more. So multiply that by 5, 10, 15, 100. Think about a guy that owns a 200-unit apartment building. Let's use that same figure. If he gets a $500 a month rent increase in 10 years for one unit, that's $500. But for 10 units, that's $5,000. Now, what if he has 100 units? He's now making $50,000 a month more than he was 10 years ago on that same property. Now, what if he has 200 units? Okay, that's $100,000 a month more just from rent increase. He didn't have to work any harder. The rents just automatically went up. Now, there's a lot of landlords in this country, very wealthy people who are connected with banks, and they're called second and third generation real estate families, and they have tens of thousands of rental apartment units. Let's repeat, tens of thousands. You know, your average garden apartment complex is between 300 to 400 units. The kind that you drive in and it's got like 20 or 30 buildings scattered out over 30 or 40 acres with a swimming pool. They're called garden complexes. They're three-story walk-ups. There's families and companies that own 50 of them, that own 100 of them, and they're all over the country, and they're actually easier to own and manage as a business than buying and dealing in single-family homes like me. Because when you own a big apartment complex, you have on-site management, your own repair people, you're bringing in so much money from the rents alone that you can afford to pay someone $25,000 or $30,000 a year and give them a free apartment to oversee and manage everything. And that's the way they're all run. So if you're living in an apartment right now, they probably have on-site management. The property's probably owned by someone who doesn't even live in the state. Or if they do, they probably never even go there. Because the bigger the development, the wealthier the people are that own it. And they don't micromanage. They have people that do that for them. In the single-family home rental arena, which is really my focus, and I have apartments too, but the single-family home is a different type of animal. It's a real management headache because usually you're not going to have enough homes concentrated in one area where you can afford to retain or support a property manager. You got to be your own property manager. And that's where you're going to fail again. So as working with me as a partner, investing with me, I do all that for you. I know how to do it. I've been doing it 40 years. Do I like doing it? Absolutely not. It's horrendous, but I do it. Just like many people who go to work, you don't have to love your job. It's just what you do. What I like about it is the freedom. Real estate gave me a lot of freedom because I learned how to produce income and wealth from properties so I don't have to work. You know, I've never worked in my whole life, as crazy as it sounds. I've had a couple of jobs for a few months here and there after college, which I never finished, by the way. But I got into real estate very young, and what it gave me was freedom. It gave me the ability to not have to punch a clock and all that. And now that I look back on it, I'm not saying that's the best life. I might have had a better life if I got a college education and got a high-paying job and stayed with some kind of company and moved up and ended up being a millionaire that way. That's called the normal way to do it. I took the road less travel. I don't know if it was the right road, but when you take away all the smoke and mirrors and it's nothing left to talk about except the property, all the properties of mine have gone up in value year after year. All the rents have increased year after year. Even if it's some of my rents only increase a dollar a day, they get a $30 a month increase, which is like $360 a year. But I'm always looking at the long term. In 10 years, I'll be getting about $500 more a month on the same house that doesn't cost me anymore. So let's knock down the figures and make them real small. What if I just had 10 single-family houses and 10 years later I'm making $500 a month more? I'm making about $7,000 a year more. Now it's a $7,000 a year raise. It took, a month raise. It took 10 years to do, but I didn't have to work any harder. And those same properties are probably worth 30, 40, or 50% more because most of the properties will go up in value 3 to 5% a year average and maybe 6 to 8% on a better year. And sometimes you even have hyperinflation in real estate where you get 10% increase in value on a property. And that gets real exciting. And we've all seen that in like luxury markets where somebody buys a $2 million house And then next year they put it back on the market and sell it for $2.5 million. Well, they did pretty good. That's a nice little hit. They made $500,000 on a $2 million house. Maybe they lived in it. Maybe they rented it out. But that happens all the time. Another thing that I really wanted to touch on today was owning your own house and owning the property your business is in. Because the people who own the property their business is in, and that can't always be done, but like let's say you're a tire store or an auto repair shop or a small law firm or some kind of service industry where you need to park some trucks, instead of renting a spot in a warehouse, if you can buy your own small little building, the same economic engine works for you in that too. Just like your house gets paid down over time, so does your business property. So if you're a guy that owns his own house and owns his own business property, 10, 15, 20 years down the road, you'll be a wealthy person even if your business goes under, because the property itself has probably increased in value. The mortgage has been paid down from the income the business generated. And then the house you go home to at night, that's increased in value. And that mortgage has been paid down from the money you earned from your business. Whereas your neighbor who's renting his house and he's renting a commercial warehouse to put his trucks in and run his business, at the end of the road, he ends up with zero. Who got rich? The landlord. So landlords have always been the richest people in the world and still are, except for a few exceptions of high-tech people who've made, you know, astronomical fortunes. And that's not the norm, but it does happen. But it's the property owners. If you go into any city, any state, it's always the people that own property that are the wealthiest. When you go to the football game, most people are concentrating on the game. Me, I'm interested in where are the hot dogs and the popcorn and who owns the property. I always find it neat how people own these giant stadiums, and the stadiums are vacant most of the time, but yet they're still the richest people in the town. And they make it from the games, and there's so many tickets sold. Imagine a stadium that holds 50,000 people. I don't know what a ticket goes for these days, but I'm sure it's a lot of money. So just average that a ticket is $50. You're looking at $2.5 million for that one day, plus a take of the food and the parking. You know, it could be a $3 or $4 million day, and maybe he only does that 3 or 4 times a month. Now you're at over $12 million a month. You're at $100 and some million a year. Maybe his mortgage payment is only $30 million or $40 or $50 million. Even if it's $80 million, he's still making $20 million. So the bigger the property, the bigger the numbers, and it starts to get really crazy. With all that said, real estate still is the most valuable wealth-generating mechanism for, I call it, the not-so-smart guy, which is me. I'm not going to invent anything. I can't write computer code. I can barely read and write. I was a terrible person in school. But I did know basic mathematics, and the way it works is this. Let's just say you buy a car, I don't know, any kind of car, and that car is worth, according to the Kelley Blue Book or an appraisal of cars, it's worth $5,000, and you buy this used car for $1,500. Is it safe to say that your $1,500 grew a little bit? Is it safe to say that if that car is worth $5,000 and you wanted to sell it quickly for $3,500, which is a big discount to what it's worth, but if so, wouldn't you double your $1,500 investment? And the answer is yes. And your money's pretty safe too, because you know the car's parked at your house and you can insure cars. Well, that's the same theory of real estate. When I was in the car business, I worked on that same theory. I'd go right up to the Manheim auctions. I had a license. I kept my overhead low. Every car I sold, I drove, so I was driving for free. But it was just like buying a house. I got just as excited. When the car came down the lane, I always knew what it was worth and what I was going to pay. And remember, the car auctions, they're for wholesale dealers, so you're normally getting a wholesale price. You buy the car, you put it on Craigslist or in the newspaper, and you sell it for retail. And you make as much money as how good a buyer you are, etc. And then when you have a problem with the car, it's all about how you can fix it for pennies on the dollar, whereas the retail person can't do that. They go into the retail garage, the Goodyear or the Sears service center, and they pay $200 for a battery. You're in the car business. You know where to get a battery for $30. Same with real estate. I know how to get stuff fixed cheap. I know how to buy the properties cheap. I know where to look to get the properties. And with all that said, the only thing difference in cars and real estate is that real estate is an asset that increases and produces income, and cars is an asset that decreases, mostly if it's a general car. We're not talking about collector cars. Just a general everyday car will decrease in value to a point where it kind of levels out. And the two buying and selling aspects of real estate and cars are very, very similar. I know people who deal in jets. I know people that deal in jet engines. They buy and sell jet engines. They buy and sell jet parts. They're always buying low and selling high. The only thing they can't do with their inventory is rent it out and collect income. What you can do in real estate is your property can produce income while you're holding it. And that's what creates astronomical wealth. Why do these people want to own these giant apartment complexes? Why? Well, what's the reason? They don't go there. It's not like a store and you're not waiting on people. You're basically warehousing tenants. What's the point in owning that? Why? The point is, it's the best place to put your money. It's the most secure place for a bank to lend money. That's why they do. Real estate loans are the easiest and the quickest, especially for income-producing property, if you have all your paperwork in order, because banks know their money's safe. Now, with all that rambling, I want to get right to the meat and potatoes of returns on investment. Why can I claim that you can make 20, 30, 50, even 100% return on a house, and even investing with me as a partner? Well, I'm going to go over some real live situations. During the crash that we had, I don't know when it was, 2010 maybe, or 6 or 7, whatever it was, the foreclosure crash where all these properties were sitting vacant. We were buying properties at auction for 30 cents on the dollar, and a lot of them. So just like I told you, the guy who bought the $5,000 car for $1,500, he could sell it for $35 pretty quickly and still double his money. I could have sold my $30,000 house to another investor for $50,000 and made almost 80% on my money, and I could have done it quickly. But what I decided to do was rent out all my homes, and that's what I did. And it's been 4 or 5 years later, and I still own them all. And now I'm doing what's called cash out refi. And here's a really cool thing. I have a house outside Orlando. I'm doing a cash out refi, and we're ready to pull out $80,000 in tax-free money on a house rented for $1,000 a month. And that house cost me $38,000 in, I'd say, 5 years ago I bought it. Actually, no, I apologize. I bought it in 2013 or 14. So I got it really cheap. I rented it out. I fixed it really cheap. And today I'm still going to own the house. I'll keep it for as long as I can, as long as I have a good tenant in there paying me. Now, with that said, look at the returns. It's over 100%, but then who knows what it is, because I'm refinancing it. I'm not selling it. I didn't have a mortgage on the house. I paid cash for it. Now I'm pulling out my money, and I'm also pulling out another $50,000 to just have, and the rent of $1,000 will pay the mortgage, taxes, interest, insurance, and maintenance and expenses, and there'll still be a couple $100 left over. Now, I know we're getting ready to wrap up, but this formula of mortgages on houses and refinancing versus selling only works with quality tenants. You can't have people moving in and out while you have mortgages on houses. You'll go bankrupt. Your tenant is your income provider. Your tenant is actually the person that's making you wealthy in rental property. It's not the property. It's the tenant. Without the tenant, you have a vacant property. A vacant property is a liability. You can't get rich with liabilities. You can only get rich with assets. So I learned a long time ago how important the tenants are, And sometimes, no matter how good you are to a tenant, they still move out. You can't please everyone. But in general, I have a lot of really good tenants that pay me on time, and they're really good people, and they take care of the place. That's the rule. The exception is, yeah, once in a while I got to evict someone. It's rare, or once in a while someone moves out. But in general, you have to have good tenants to be wealthy and successful in real estate. You have to have customers to buy your product if you sell something. You have to have patrons at your restaurant if you're cooking food. You can't cook food to an empty table, correct? So you can't have an empty apartment. You can't have an empty house. You got to have a good paying tenant. And that tenant, in general, in retrospect, is actually working for you. He doesn't know it, but you should know it. I know that all my tenants work for me. They go to work every day. They come home. At the end of the month, some of their money that they made from work goes to me, which I put in my bank, and then I pay my bills and live off it. And if there's a mortgage on a house, I pay my mortgage, taxes, and insurance. So in truth, your tenants are your backbone to wealth. I have all that in place. I have the properties. I have the tenants. I have the management. There's nothing for you to do. It's the easiest business model. It's simple. Ready? You invest. We do all the rest. And that's the formula that we've been doing for 35 to 40 years, and it seems to be working, and we'll continue to do it. The only change in our business model is we're moving into multi-unit properties, commercial properties, bigger pieces of property, and we're also doing a little bit of speculation as far as new construction, et cetera, right time, right place, right deal, right situation, et cetera, et cetera. So listen, I hope you guys like the show. This is Volume 2, Sunday the 17th of February, and we're in the year of 2019 already. Wow. Let's make this a great year. Hopefully by 2020, I could double my net worth with you as a partner of mine in maybe one deal, two deals, five, who knows. It's all up to you. Thanks a lot for listening.